So we pray, Heavenly Father, our desire tonight is to know your word correctly by the revelation which has been vindicated to us, and the statutes, Lord, that we may walk therein and walk softly before you. We know, Lord, that every age has had those men that were obstreperous, and they actually did things they should not have done, and even those that were consecrated vessels many times got out of hand. And yet we see in the lives of men like Paul and Brother Branham in our day, men so dedicated to the faith and to the walk of conduct as to make us marvel at the depth of the grace of God in their lives, which they were able to gather to themselves, to look to you, Lord, until that grace flowed there in the Word. Went forth in the true spirit of Almighty God. We need that today, Lord. We need it every hour, and especially in the closing hours, because it is for us, and we know when it's for us, you've demanded it. As the prophet said, you've also made a way for it. So we pray that we'll learn something tonight wherein we can walk as we ought to walk, as dear sons, as manifested sons, to the limited degree in which that is at that time, knowing that the fullness comes forth in the resurrection. But Lord, we fall behind in no things, allowing no man to take our crown, not allowing ourselves to stop short of the goal, but to go all the way. So Father, we're pleading tonight you help us to not only be hearers of the word, but to be doers of that same word, and to walk in the light as you're in the light, and have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing us from all sin. This we desire by your help, Lord, which we believe we have tonight, because we do have your permission. It may be granted unto us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're still looking at questions and answers, and I've been drifting along in that particular vein for quite some time, because I just haven't wanted to get into a series, which when I do, many times it takes 15, 20, 24, 32 messages of about an hour and a half apiece to attempt to garner everything that I believe that was given to us by the Lord through Brother Branham. Now, this young man wrote me, and we dealt with his questions, and then he asked me concerning something Brother Branham said in Blasphemous Names. And he just used the quote that from Brother Branham, wherein Brother Branham was quoting some scripture from Philippians. And Brother Branham said, I believe there's a bride that's predestinated. I believe God said he would have a church without spot or wrinkle. I believe in predestination, that the bride is predestinated. She's got to be there. I hope I'm with her. See? With her. Now, it's up to me to work out my own salvation with God until these things are approved of God and then sealed into the kingdom of God. There's the Holy Spirit. There's a genuine work of God. It's sealed until the day of redemption. I think what he had in mind as I read his letter was that what did Brother Branham mean when he says, now it's up to me to work out my own salvation with God until these things are approved of God and then sealed into the kingdom of God. There's the Holy Spirit. In other words, a life that is not only has a measure of the Holy Spirit of that hour, but actually is literally a living epistle read and known of all men to be that genuinely born one of Almighty God. Now, Brother Branham had quoted from Philippians, the second chapter, where he said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And, of course, we all know when you get that word wherefore, you're coming to a conclusion. You're coming to the place where all the previous statements of exhortation, doctrine, illustration have come as a central theme to this one point, that here's where you must come to. Now, to understand this, we are going to take our time. I won't get to the portion of study I wanted to get to. It's going to be quite a while, but going to Philippians, the first chapter, and we'll read up to where Paul makes his statement. He says, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. You'll notice that Paul is stressing the very things that I've stressed here over the years that I've been more or less dealing with you people from this particular area, and that is that our fellowship and the centrality of our coming together and being associates in Christ Jesus, hopefully bride, is because of this word that has been given to us by vindication. You notice what Paul said? He said, I thank God for every remembrance, always in every prayer, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. In other words, where does the fellowship lie? Where does the source of love lie? The source of strength, the source of cohesiveness, the homogeneity of the church? It lies in the revealed word as Paul brought it. Now, are we going to sit back and be any less? It's easy to agree with me and shake your heads, but hey, I'm not disappointed in anybody, but frankly, I feel the deeper depths and higher heights are missing. And you know why? I just told you. Not serious enough with this revealed truth. And I'm warning, and I won't have time tonight, I don't think I may have, where I'm going to just take the top off of certain things. I'm not going to hurt anybody, but I want to just know where we stand. Or are we standing? Now, Paul laid it right out here. He said, look, the association is right here. Now, Brother Branham can say no less than Brother Paul. And maybe I'll have to read 10 pages of Brother Branham. All right, don't want to take too long then. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. All right, then hold your finger there, and let's take a look at this. And you that are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, when he shall have come to be glorified in his saints, and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. And again, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, even belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not enough. Hold your peace. Let me get to second. Oh, here, the Bible just opens up for me. 2 Corinthians, that's where I want it. All right, now listen. It says, even to this day when Moses has read, the veil's upon their heart. But nevertheless, when to turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, shall be changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry to see this thing done and shall be done, as we have received mercy, and we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. John said the same thing. So you see where we're coming from. Huh, everybody? Are you satisfied, or are you going to have your own ideas? See, that's why one-mindedness is the secret of everything. And that being the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ came through the Apostle Paul by the same pillar of fire that came to William Branham, who could say, all my thoughts are of God. And he could prove it by vindication. and vindication, not a bunch of Pentecostal hogwash. Sorry. Mean old Bill's just going to tell the truth, lay it on the line. It's according to the Bible. I was born into Pentecost, and I almost hated every minute of it. Oh, I love this, though. This is super expeditious. All right. Being confident, this hour right here, see? Even as it's meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of the and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. Now look what he says right there. You are heir to the vindication that God gave me. You own it. You're vindicated. Same grace Paul had. Same vindication Brother Branham had. If the hand does it, the body does it. If his head thinks it, our heads think it. If his heart's got it, our heart's got it. Because the life is in the Word. The conduit of the Holy Ghost is the Word. And the conduit of the Word is you and I. Okay? For God is my record. How greatly I long after you on the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more and hold it. Why, what? Listen to what Paul's saying. He's saying what Lee Dale's been teaching for years and didn't even know it was here. And this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Now, where do you get that from? Boy, I'm very smart and I have a very spiritual understanding. Hogwash. Revealed Word. Yeah. Now watch, that you may approve the things that are excellent. That you may be sincere. You can't even be sincere without the definitive revelation. Or you say, well, they're sincere, Brother Bill, but when they're sincerely wrong, then they're not sincere. They're still fraudulent. And a bogus buck is still a bogus buck. So, Brother Bill, I just can't go that far. And you ain't going to get off this ground in the rapture. Sorry. I won't either. You just look at, hey, either this is the Bible or it's not the Bible. Now, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now, it's right in there. Nothing on the record. Already, Brother Branham said the record's clear for the true bride, little bride here, the righteous, perfect bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't even do it. Being filled with the fruit of righteousness, now it's his, not yours, which are by Jesus Christ, see? Unto the glory and praise of God. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things, now watch, that have happened unto me. Now this is where we start to get into what I'm going to go back on blasphemous names. Because we're going to parallel it with what Brother Branham said. Hopefully we can get that far. Which happened unto me, have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. Hey, this guy got to the top bracket by going down. He got to the world by being shut up in prison. Say, hey, God does strange, weird things. You bet, because he's a strange, weird God. When it comes to what we think about him and how we'd be if we were God. Boy, I'm sure glad I'm not God. Oh, gee. Not only for your sakes, but mostly for mine. My mind can spin out of control so fast, I'm glad that God's doesn't. Look what he said. He got to the top by going to the bottom. He got everywhere by being shut up. And watch, listen to this now. Watch this man's attitude. Hey, we got a long way to go, but we're going to get there. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Look, what an inspiration. Now keep watching, though. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. And some preach William Branham because the money flows in. Ho, ho. But some also of goodwill. The one preaches Christ of contention, not sincerely. He couldn't because he doesn't believe. Supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Now, how could this man have love? Because he had the same word. See? Come on, let's be honest. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is priest. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Now, there's where he's got to leave Baal backed off the map. But, you know, man, I get so steamed up about these preaching, what William Branham taught. And I knew William Branham, and he was like Paul. He was just like Paul. He was happy if one man made a step, even a half a step toward God, hoping for another one. As long as this word got out, he called them brothers and sisters and pat them on the back, hoy, yoy, yoy, just to mention his name and talk about a message. I could name a certain man's name that's so licentious it just make you sick, make you want to vomit. And he called him my dear brother. Preaching the same gospel, hogwash, and yet true. And boy, let's go home now and soak our heads. Pray God's cyclone hit us and get us out of here. We're falling short. I tell you, falling short. See, the attitude really is, and I'll be honest with you, I'm lacking it. In a great measure, I hope I got a teeny bit. Well, hey, let anybody take it. As long as they talk about a vindicated prophet, great. Even if they use it for adultery, great. Never mind what their motive is. I'm preaching Lee Bale. I just hope you say amen and help me out. Just get it out. Get it out. There is a prophet in this hour. There's people I could name their names. I won't name their names. But it happened that there was a problem in their lives. And part of the family went to a certain place. And as they got in a taxi, this guy is, I tell you what. He was put into a mixmaster after having got caught in a revolving door and a centrifuge. Oh, brother. And they dumped on him everything you'd want to not have dumped on you. And he's in the cab and tells them all about a prophet in the last hour and brings them right to the message. One preaches Christ to contention not sincerely. One has envy and strife. But he said, what then? Christ is still being preached. Well, amen. Let's all get converted tonight. I mean it. I'm not being facetious. I really mean it. We need to just accept this and put it all under the blood what's been wrong and just go right ahead and say, thank God, I don't care who does it, how it's done. It's words. There's a word going out, at least on this particular instance, and that's what Paul said right here. Now, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I do therein rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn even to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now watch how that supply comes, right? That attitude. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ should be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. But for I am a strait betwixt two things, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better than anything here. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue for you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your behavior, your behavior and your attitudes to one another and your social life together in Christianity be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. What were they doing? They were coming together and talking that message. It's just encouraging. Say, stick with it. That's what Paul said. Stick with it. That's what Paul said. Stick with it. That's what Brother Brown said. Say what I say. Say what I say. Say what I say. Stick with it. See? And nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. See, Brother Branham said it takes a bad woman to make a good woman look good. And this is the way it is here. If we didn't have these people that are doing desperate to the Spirit of grace and taking this message as a new patch on an old garment and doing all of these things they're doing, making a merchandise and what have you, men's souls and the things we hear and the things we know going on, hey, there'd be something wrong. And then at the same time, Christ wouldn't be getting his fair treatment because he must be reviled. There is no beauty we should desire him. This comes strictly by revelation. So when you see these things come to pass, lift up your heads and rejoice. Your redemption doesn't only draw nigh, it is here. As Brother Branham said at the opening of the seals, he said, when his great son Adam fell into sin and his wife, did he send an archangel? Did he send this? Did he send that? No, he himself came down, so today. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me. Now remember, the reproaches of Christ fall on Christ, but they hit us in the bargain. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. In other words, stick with the gospel, stick with the gospel, stick with the revealed word. It's vindicated. There's no place to turn. Stick with it. And no matter what's going on out there, just rejoice and praise God. Say, hallelujah. It's so good they couldn't leave it alone. Yep. Oh, yes, it's a very telling gospel when they start shooting at it. Something inside is telling them, hey, you'll be on the run one of these days. Oh, I read many things people say about Brother Branham. Lies, lies, lies. And I get up here and I blow my stack. Now, from now on, we're going to... How hard are you going to pray for me? I'd like to be that way. If you like to be that way, you can be that way. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in the lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And now watch, you see what he's leading up to. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God, strictly spirit, see, though it thought it not a prize to be grasped and retained equal with God. In other words, as the Son of God, he was absolutely equal in the very form. They said, what's the difference between God and Jesus? No difference except time element. One at the beginning. Yet they say, well, he bears preaching two gods. Well, you're not in a fruitcake. Smarten up. He's the Son of God. I quoted Brother Branham said. How do you get two gods out of that? You don't know the word. That's the trouble. But now tonight I'm glad it's going up, because you know what's going to happen? Somebody's going to hear about this and they're going to say, what about it? And they'll know those people are wrong and they'll start looking until the truth comes in. That's what's happening right now. I get phone calls, I get letters, Brother Dale, I never understood a thing till I heard you begin expounding the word to us. We heard a lot of bad things about you, but found out they're all wrong. Of course, my language isn't the best, who cares? You want me mealy-mouthed and sweet and nice, I could be that too and go back to being a United Church in Canada. Maybe. No, I don't want that stuff. Being in the form of God, thought it not a prize we gasped and retained to be with God, but made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself and took on him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now, you see, he's showing the imitation of Christ. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death of the cross. Now, we are already fashioned as men. The sons of God are fashioned as men. And our model is Jesus the Christ. And as he laid aside any pretentious attitude toward it, even any claim toward it, he stood right there with reality. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people make a lot of claims, but no reality. Who needs that? And he became obedient, even in death, the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath all highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now the similar passage for you and me is, he said, I'll make them bow, and they'll know who it is that I love. Read your book of Revelation, the church ages, right? Yes, sir, these bunch of guys in there, they're going to find out. Now, notice the wherefore. My beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. See? But now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. He said, take your example of me. He said, it is God in me willing and doing of his good pleasure, and I'm listening to that through the gospel, and I'm hearing it, and I'm walking in it. Now, nobody's going to ever be perfect. Paul wasn't perfect. The only man who perfectly lived this word was Jesus, because he was the Word made flesh. Amen. But you and I believe it. And through the sanctifying power and grace of the life of God in that word, something has got to come forth making you different from what you were. Though you're never going to be happy until you're in his image. Like Job, there was a perfect man before God. And he said, look, he said, I don't care how perfect anybody thinks they am, and even I think I am. The point is, I will not be happy until I wake in his image. Then I'll be satisfied. That's the way you and I are tonight. So, this man Paul here is telling these people, look, you've got everything to work with. Start working with it. Start believing it. See, operating in it. It'll come to pass, like I just said tonight. I've said it before, too. You people here, you can drive me plumb up a wall. You're my joy, my love, everything, but you can just completely cripple me. The way you pull, and you see, so, well, Brother Dale, that's fine. You just open your hearts, open your minds, and you start pulling. And if I was a brass monkey, which, that's a compliment, I couldn't help myself. It's the same if you do that with your healing. You know how to lay yourself open. You're doing it every single time I'm in this pulpit. There isn't any difference. Because he sent his word to heal them. And the word salvation is sozo, which is salvation as pertaining to your lost condition being brought back to God. You're saved from your sins and all. It also it means healing, which not only implies but actually means amending, a healing, a reconciliation. And that's why all this talk is about holistic health and holistic methods. Because it deals with the whole, where the body is completely reconciled from the cell, each cell in your body, to the exterior, where all the cells are come together in unity. The mind and all. So you see, when we're talking about one thing in the gospel, you're talking about everything. That's why Brother Branham, time after time, would say, may everybody in this building be healed. He wasn't just saying, Lord, I hope the people could somehow get a little healing and everybody have something. That's hypocritical. That's mealy mouth. It's mealy mouth. It is, absolutely. The prophet wasn't that. Oh, come on. I don't think I would care to stoop that low myself. So you see, we're talking about these things. They're lying here in us. Like he said, healing lies within you, but don't take it too far. And people today are taking it too far. But healing does lie within you, because there's life, not only your life, but the life of Almighty God too. And as you depend on that life and talk to that spirit within you, you do get the help that you have need of. So I'm just trying to tell you here. Now, Paul the Apostle is saying, hey, look, work with what you've got. Work together with what you've got. Work it out. Because it's been put into your hands. See, there's the part, what we talk about continually, revealed faith, which is passive, and active faith, which is based upon the revealed faith as to what is yours. And I tell you what, it's up for grabs in this particular sense. God won't turn anybody away. Now, we'll go through a little bit here. We do some reading now. Now, here's what we're looking at. As Paul the Apostle laid it out here, and he said, I'm convinced, I'm persuaded by divine vindication. He said, what I've committed unto God, it will be kept until that day. And you, by the same gospel, are kept unto this day, which we're in right at this hour. And by that same gospel, the same people through the seven church ages will all come up in the first resurrection as being a predestinated bride. Now, he notices in here, he tells you of his suffering. He tells you conforming to Christ. And he's letting you in on what he lets you in the book of Hebrews and other places, which is concerning patience. Also in the book of Romans, very, very strong. Tribulation work of patience. And he's showing in here that you positively can work it out. See? With God in you. It can be done. It can be done. Now, there's certain things will be done. No way about it. Like Brother Branham said, when I say, thus saith the Lord, it hasn't got one thing to do with you. You will have it. You can be blind and ignorant as a bat. You can be a heathen. If he looked down at the worst person in all the world and said, thus saith the Lord, you've got leprosy, but you haven't got it now. That person gone being the rottenest, crookedest, dumbest, meanest, lousiest person, and he's got it. Because it's thus saith the Lord. Now, Paul brought the thus saith the Lord, which points right to eternity. But in there is that place of Christian character and growth. And he said, this is what you work with. You've got it. Work with it. Now, Paul is talking about this very thing. Now, let's go to William Branham. Now, I'm going to read as fast as I can, and I'm sorry about that, but our time's sure gone. Okay, where am I anyway? Oh, yeah. Sister, this is the blasphemous names, and Sister Shepherd has a dream. And Brother Branham does not talk about the dream, but now he brings it out in order to bring out some truth based upon the stature of perfect man. And you will notice in this, really, that the stature of perfect man is a complicated message, very detailed, very lengthy. In this, he cuts it shorter. And in my estimation, he brings it a little clearer. However, we'll look at it. Now, our sister's dream. She was worried whether, now watch, she was worried whether she had the Holy Ghost or not. When she laid down across the duofold where her husband's reading a paper, a newspaper, and she's got little ones as I have, and they're always making a noise and things, and so in this she fell asleep for approximately 10 to 15 minutes and she dreamed. And she never could understand it or get it together from a year ago almost until this message was taught. Then while I was teaching it, it all came back to her. And she dreamed that she was praying. She was walking the floor first before she dreamed, wringing her hands and thinking, Lord, have I got the Holy Ghost? Can you prove to me? Some says because that I shouted. Some say I spoke in tongues. We believe in all this, but have I really got it? I believe in all those things, those virtues, speaking in tongues, shouting, all kinds of demonstrations. I believe every bit of it. But if it's there without this, there's something wrong, see? So, okay, notice, she was worried about it. So she just lay down across the duofold where her husband's reading. She went to sleep. And she dreamed she was up on a mountain. I haven't got the paper before, but I think it's like this. She dreamed she saw a rock-like box, like a framework sitting right on top of this mountain. And her husband was just behind her, and she saw a large man standing there with work clothes on, sleeves rolled up, bailing out the most pure water that she ever had seen and pouring it into this box. He's dipping it from something and pouring this box. This rock box, now it's evidently made of rock, sitting on top of the mountain. And the rock box would not hold the water. And it rolled right out of there and just boiled up all the trash and sticks everywhere in there. And it boiled out and rolled down the mountain. In other words, he should have said it was rolling down the mountain. As it rolled down, it was causing a ferment, boiling up all the junk as the water rushed down. That's what he says here. He just kind of got a little backwards. That's the way Brother Branham often, you know, he sometimes got his chronology a little bit backwards. But no problem. It's all good. Now watch. It rolled over her feet and she was standing right in that stuff. Only it didn't stick to her. And when she asked why the box didn't hold it, the man said, that's not water. That's the Holy Ghost. Nothing will hold it. Now notice the sticks and things didn't stick. Just rolled right on by. All the trash just went swimming by. Wasn't that her feet weren't in it. They were in it all right, but nothing stuck. Okay. And he said, then he went back and got another big bucket, and it was full of honey, and poured the honey into that and said, now it'll hold this. And she thought that the box, the rock box, was going to burst and spill the honey, but it didn't. It finally stuck together and held it. Now, there's something important. What was it that did it? And she turned and went down the mountain. Going down the mountain, she stopped at the bottom of the mountain and looked back. And she saw five streams of this pure crystal water, not contaminated by the things that it had gone through, still pure and clean, coming swiftly. Then it slowed up, then almost faded out. And she was wondering, would it ever reach the bottom of the mountain, those five streams? And she woke up. And I think that's about close, isn't it, Sister Shepherd? Now, no more than I picked up the letter and opened it, before I read it, I saw her dream. Now, that's the way dreams are interpreted.
Now, many of you have come to me with dreams and say things to me about dreams, and I say, wait a minute, you never told it all, see? And go back and pick it up. Then, if you can't tell if I can't tell what you dream, how do you know I've got the right interpretation on? See, you've got to see those dreams. A vision has to show the dream. And when you see the dream that the person dreamed and could tell them before they tell you, then you know the interpretation. Now, I saw that happen, so I know what Brother Branham is talking about. I believe I saw it on more than one occasion. Well, I know one for sure up in Iowa. That was a dilly. Well, I believe that's in the scripture also. Daniel one time, wasn't that right? Yeah. Just happened to think of that, see? But you always see the dream. Now, if the interpretation's right, a person starts telling you a dream and you stop and say, wait a minute, it was so-and-so and so-and-so plus so-and-so. And then you say, that's exactly right, see? A man the other day was trying to tell me a dream that he dreamed, and he said, well, and I said, now, brother, why did you leave out that other part? And he said, what other part? And I said, you dreamed you threw a rock up in the air, and I shot at it and got some in my eye. And he said, hey, that's exactly the truth, Brother Branham. And they just picked the last part of it out yesterday. See, the dream was a real dream. You know, Brother Branham shot, and the bullet, they redid the bore of the gun. And it wasn't strong enough, so when he shot it, it exploded. And he could have lost his eyes, but he didn't. They just picked the last part of it yesterday, so there you are, see? Why don't you tell the truth? But you see, it always reveals back, tells you your dream, what you dream, then you know it's right. In other words, if you go to him and say, Brother Branham, I had this strange dream, you could tell him, and he would just listen. But if there's really something behind it, he'll stop you and tell you the dream and then explain it thoroughly. Now, that's the way I saw him do it. But also, I know there's dreams that he just listened to and said, you know, okay, goodbye. Nothing he could do about it, see? Now, here's the interpretation of a dream. She was bothered about the Holy Ghost, whether she had the Holy Ghost baptism or not. Now, insomuch as she had seen the box on top of the mountain was rock box, is rock confession. Now, you know what that is. Perfect identification. Flesh and blood have not revealed it, but my Father which is in heaven. So now the point is, that her rock bottom confession or is it the prophets? Well, it doesn't really matter too much. We should go on reading. The point is, it's rock confession. All right. Now, like Jesus said in Scripture, Jesus said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, is? Some say Elijah, Moses, so on. Who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Now, some people say the Catholic Church, like Roman Catholic Church, says the rock was, that was Jesus. Upon this rock I'll build my church, in the gates of hell not prevail against it. And they said it was a Peter, and Peter was that rock, because Peter means little stone. And upon this little stone I'll build my church. And upon Peter, they believe in apostolic succession. They build their church that way. Then the Protestants say that's wrong. It was built upon himself, Jesus Christ, and he built his own church. Now, not to be disagreeable, but to my way of seeing it is both wrong, because he never built upon Peter, never did build upon himself, but upon Peter's revelation who he was. See, what do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Some seminaries, see? But my Father which is in heaven has revealed to you this. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock of confession, upon this revelation, I'll build my church. And he puts it where it is because God does not speak to individuals, each one at a time. He has to come through one person which he ordains to bring that revelation. So he's telling Peter here, flesh and blood did not reveal it, but I revealed it to you, and that's how I always do things. It is by revelation. And that's been, each church age has had that rock confession up to this rock confession of the Laodicean age. And now you cannot make a holy church. There's no such thing as a holy church or holy organization. The Holy Spirit can be preached in it, but you have to find good and bad, renegades and different, everything else. See, now that's where we have our problems, isn't it? Say, this person, you know. You just believe, let him be. He's doing something about the word. So an organization will not hold. You can't say we got it. None of the rest of them has it. No, sir, the Holy Spirit is poured out on individuals. It's the individual. So therefore the rock, this Latter-day Pentecostal church, which has received the Holy Spirit, they did it the first. Not now, of course, see. All down through the ages they received the Holy Spirit, but not in the measure that they have it now. Because it's the restoration of the first. Restoration of what? Word. Same pillar of fire brought the words here revealing it. Because it's a restoration of the first. He said that Ephesus must come again. As we take the candlestick, Alpha and Omega, how they lit the first candle, it went higher and higher, got dimmer and dimmer, then came back again, see? First and last and so on. And that's right. Came back five, six, seven ages. It went one, two, three, four, and plumb out of existence. The church lay dead for roughly 1,000 years in there. Then five, six, seven started coming back after the Dark Ages. Now, but in this church age, the message, now that's the water, see? The man with, in his shirt sleeves, bailing out from a big container, pouring in, like the sea of the God himself, pouring in by the bucketful. See? Now, he said, remember, the Holy Spirit is life. And watch what Brother Branham said. There's no life apart from this message. Now, but in this church age, the message is being poured into the church. But the church body itself, in all together, like this tabernacle, we'll say, that's where she comes to church. This tabernacle is not a Holy Ghost tabernacle. There's no such thing. Individuals that come into this church are Holy Ghost tabernacles. They are tabernacles that contain the Holy Ghost, but not the church in the body of a group. Therefore, it runs out. Now, everybody's talking about it. You get a group of people say, well, this is it, we ascribe, so on and so forth, and you organize, which he talks of organization, it runs out. See, that's what like happened with those lamps. Our lamps have run out. Nothing in their vessels. See, no word. Every age, a new message. Every age, Peter's out. God takes the messenger away, puts him to rest, judges that generation or that age. Therefore, it runs out. See, because there's no such thing as a group. It's individuals. Of course, you could have, like on the day of Pentecost, every single person baptized the Holy Ghost. Great. That's where the bride's going to be again, too. But everywhere scattered. You just can't put a church in one place. I believe the only time the bride will be really gathered is when they meet in the air for the wedding supper just prior to it. See, but what this man who was pouring the water, the messenger to the church, pouring the message into the church, but what was the water doing? What was the truth doing then? What was the life in the Word doing then? How was the Holy Ghost acting through that conduit? It was boiling out all the trash that was in it. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Boils it up. Now, if you think that's not true, you're sitting there guessing. His message here, he went over like a lead balloon. You talk about trouble. And then the way some preachers preach it, I got, as I say, get my mind renewed on that. Oh. People go around splitting up homes and everything else. They preach this word of God. It's not the way I know it. Okay, flip that tape over and give me another 145 minutes. We're slowing up here, kid. All right, now the honey represents brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. And what is brotherly kindness? The stature of perfect man. Prickly, prickly, prickly. Like Dan Banks Wood said, you got fish hooks on his elbows. But they know how to respond helpfully and in love when somebody needs it. Like Brother Branham said, you ought to be able to argue violently, disagree over doctrine violently, but what is brothers in love? Now, of course, if there's sin involved, it's got to be judged, but we're talking now about just people that are fairly good people, you know, but they have problems, basic problems and all. Now, the honey represented brotherly kindness, which is this age. I just got through telling you, see, a brotherly kindness, the age which we lived in, that stature for a man. Now, you might say, look, I sure don't like Brother Neville. Sure, I don't like Brother Jones. I don't like Brother so-and-so, something like that. But just let something happen to him, brother, your heart's broke. It just nearly kills you, see? We can obtain brotherly kindness and feeling for one another, see? But to maintain in a group of people. See, in other words, where that is really the spirit of the people, be kind to each other, do good to each other, and help each other. You can be pretty prickly doing it. Now, you don't turn around without love and say, well, boy, I tell you what, I'm going to do it this time, but you better watch next time, I'm going to sock it to you. You got to be like old Bob Brooks, sucker every time. Okay, sucker. But it's a nice way. He admits it. take his coat, he'd give you a shirt. I don't think either one are worth wearing, but he's too big. I don't think anybody but Norm, I don't think it fit Normie. But I know what he's like. He's a good boy. Now, why do you care for that brother? Because you broke bread with him here at the altar, as you will tonight. Hey, isn't that nice for this service tonight? The Lord knew more about this than I did. You fellowship with him. You shook his hand. You worship with him. He's your brother. And he might do something in the flesh that you would disagree with because you just kind of stay, which you oughtn't to do, but shun him a little. But in the bottom of your heart, if something happened to that brother, it would just nearly kill you or that sister. I'm an old man. I was young once, and now I'm old. I've seen it down through the age do that. Hear people say, well, I just won't have any more to do with him. And something happened, that man nearly killed him. He thinks, oh, God, I let my precious brother go without making friends with him again. See, his brotherly love, his brotherly kindness is the word, not brotherly love. It looks like it won't stick, but it does stick. The honey sticks it. So, all right, now we got the picture. This is a rough age. Fish hooks on too many elbows. We believe the word. Even got some difference on understanding. That's okay. Fine. We're going with the prophet. Going with vindication. We know certain rudiments. We stick with it. We're not pharisaical. We're not farces. We're not hypocrites. We're not with filthy spirits. Although I could name a few, but not here. No. Here around the world. Sit right in these meetings. Yeah. Filthy spirits. Yeah. Don't let it bother you. Keep on going. Be nice. Be kind. Who knows? Maybe that person's time hasn't come yet. If it never does come, God's his judge. Just be nice. Be kind. See? Something happens, nearly kills him. I got my precious brother go, honey makes it stick. Honey makes it stick. In other words, we have in this age what it takes. And yet they're just waiting to leave Brother Branham as a vindicated prophet because they're sure he told a lie about those clouds out there in the day and all. We'll talk about that if we get time. So how come he saw five angels and seven came? That's so simple I could get nauseated over if anybody asked that question even. So I'll ask you the question, see if I get nauseated. I'm just kidding, but you know I'm halfway earnest because you have been taught for years. Yeah. Now, see, honey makes all of these things stick together. These personalities are so obtuse from each other. Adverse, almost. Honey makes it stick. You understand? Honey makes it stick. We're going to get there. Everything's really all right. Even though it's not all right in the sense the way we want it. See? So, okay, it sticks. Honey makes it stink. Now, listen, not now, in so much that she came from there down the hill to the bottom of the hill. Now, this glorious water was gushing over the hill in five streams. Now, five is the number of grace. Jesus, faith, grace. JESUSFAITHERECE. See? Five is the number of grace. Five streams were pouring up from here at the top, at the trough, down through here at the bottom. And each one of these ages had that rock confession. The saints are sleeping, waiting to this age, see? But soon the Holy Ghost, being poured out from Christ, will come and seal up the church. Then the church will be raptured. Now notice he's talking about not individual sealing, though that is there. He's talking about now all the completeness of Christ, the body, is completed now. And at that end time, the Holy Ghost, at the end of the period of brotherly kindness, sticky, maybe it's the fish hooks that keep us together and get separated. Whatever. I'm just kidding, of course, in a certain way there. But we're going to be together. See, then the Holy Spirit himself seals up the entire church, and the church will be raptured. Remember, when that spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to us, pretty soon going to call forth the dead. He's calling us out by the word, calling us out of Babylon. And that's sticky. Yep, prickly. But there's a honey there just the same. Honey in the rock, honey in the confession, Hey, you Branham, ice 57 varieties. Not even get along. That's my business. Shut your mouth and get on your own. We get along real good. Yeah, that's the outsiders tell you that, you know, you Branhamites. I get my, every now and then a little, not too often, but one certain fellow phones me a lot, but I just treat him nice, you know. Why bother any other way? Because nothing you can do about it. He thinks he knows everything. He doesn't even know one is the Godhead. But he claims it, but see, that's not my business. I still like the guy, and we'll try to help him where I can. And I do, I'm not lying to you. I wouldn't want him as my daily companion at my dinner table. You know, but he isn't anyway. So the Lord knows how he can help us to help all these things, see? Now, it'll be a complete unit of God, a bride for Christ who will be the head of all things. You follow me now? Now, she was wondering, now in her dream, she's wondering, would this little stream ever get to the bottom? See, it was drying up. Now, being that she herself, now here's what I want you to get now. She herself was wondering about her own self. Did she have the Holy Ghost? Now, I shunned saying this a few days ago, thinking the church would be spiritual enough to catch it, and maybe I better turn this tape off right now, but because I don't want to get amongst the brethren. He doesn't turn it off, though. But you could speak with tongues, you could shout, you could dance, you could cast out devils, do anything you want to, and still not have the Holy Ghost. Didn't those disciples come back rejoicing and shouting because devils were subject unto them? Right amongst them was Judas, hey? Did not Jesus say in that day when he came that many will come to me and say, Lord, have I not cast out devils in your name, done mighty works? And I'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I didn't even know you. Now listen, I read it too fast for you to catch it. Right among them was Judas. Now listen, did not Jesus say in that day when he come that many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, what day is that? This day. Lord, Lord was at the end of the trail, brother, sister, not at the beginning. Lord, Lord was the time of the presence. Anointed with the true spirit, but false to the word. See, there was no conduit for the Holy Ghost. And there's no place inside the soul for the word. So when he poured his spirit upon all flesh, which is exactly prophecy, there'll be completely a bunch who say, forget it, I wouldn't have it if it was God, don't even want God, goodbye Charlie. Then you got your hypocrite make-believers and what have you. They'll just take it by the bushelful and pretend they got it all. See where you're looking at? In this day when many will come, anointed correctly to the gifts, other things, but not to the word. They don't have it. Men who come say, Lord, if I not cast out devils in your name, do mighty works, and I'll say, depart from me. He's saying it right now as the judge. What do you think? The word is separating. Pretty soon the rapture is the final separation. The judge is here doing it. White throne. Hey! They're not looking down the road a million miles. Time and eternity's blended. Don't you know Brother Branham's vindicated ministry of thus saith the Lord is far beyond vindication? It's right to the word. This is it. And you and I say, live, die, sink, or swim, bless God. It tells you don't even have to swim. The waters are going to float you over. Just like Noah's Ark. Yep, who tried to swim in those days? Say, oh, God, thank you for the Ark. Let's go ahead. Pile on the water. It doesn't matter. You know, really, you got to stay with the Word, not with your own ideas. I didn't know you. These things are not indications of the Holy Spirit. By their fruit you shall know them. Now, he's not talking about the fruit of love and this and that, because that can be counterfeited too. You've got to go to stature perfect man to see that one. Now you say, Brother Branham, should we speak with tongues? Absolutely, that's a gift of God. But those gifts of God without these virtues in them makes a stumbling block to the unbeliever. It's not accepted by God. This has to be first. Now listen, when you have the faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly kindness, then the Holy Ghost comes down and seals you as a unit, as same as he seals the church ages in a unit. Now, each one of those ages showed that, and we growing up into Christ have the same thing. And when you come to the final age of the Holy Spirit sealing in, you come to this place of brotherly kindness, the rest of these things should be in you. Now, wait a while. We'll just talk about that a little later on more. Now, the way he makes his bride is the same way he makes his individual, made out of the same material, like he was made out of Adam, a rib in the side. Here is the thing, here is the things that you have to have first. You can't impersonate them, you can't imitate them. They've got to be God-sent and God-born. Imitation only causes confusion. Okay, right in there, you have faith. What is faith? Faith is the definitive, passive faith of a genuine, true revelation where nothing but nothing will stand in your way of the Word. Now we're going to stop here, and whether we ever get through or not, oh, we'll get through. You can sit around. Actually, you could bypass the foot washing if you had to hear the Word. All right, we have this thought of Brother Branham, and you have Mr. Dean's letter gone out. And he said, if Brother Branham lied, he's no prophet, I don't want him. Can't have a thing to do with him. Because the clouds were taking their picture on February the 28th, and yet supposed to be absolutely true that the angels came to Brother Branham and caught him up on March the 8th. And Brother Branham said, the best that you can read him, you will find he is actually saying, to the best of your knowledge, if words mean anything, but you and I don't know. Because Brother Branham could be garbled. I found that on more than one occasion. And he speaks in these terms, that the time that picture was taken, those were those angels at the same time they visited him, and the earthquake shock was felt by Gene Norman and Mr. Softman. Now, when that picture was handed to Brother Branham, the cut was right on the cover, February the 28th. The question is, did Brother Branham make an honest mistake or did he lie? Now, this means nothing to people who don't believe it. You do what you want. I gave Brother Branham's handwriting to my sister after the opening of seals. She came down about 1964, I'm sure it was. Met Brother Branham, talked to him. I thought she knew Bill's writing. And she said, this man is most peculiar because he is the only man I've ever seen or ever known of, ever read anybody's writing. He doesn't have one speck of deceit in his handwriting. William Branham, before he died, went to Georgia. They put some pecans in his trunk. He didn't know it. He went to Arizona. They said, have you got anything in your car? Like nuts and fruit and things. He said, no, I don't have it. When he got home, he found these 2 pounds of pecans. He said, son, I lied to the man at the border. He went back 200 miles to put the pecans down. All right, let's talk about David. They wounded my hands and my feet. All my bones stare out at me. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. And if I'm going to repudiate William Branham, I'll repudiate David, who literally acted like a whoremonger, with 400 and some wives, lusted with passion after a woman he saw on the rooftop, and took her, committed adultery with her, got her pregnant, and killed her husband. So take your Bible and go to hell in a basket, as Bob would say, in a handbasket. What I'm trying to tell you is this. Your senses, your understanding, your mind, your this, your that, is nothing compared to this Word. Amen. Now, you can live, die, sink, or swim. I've said my piece. Now, thought about the 5 angels. Oh, God, that's so pitiful, it stinks. I shouldn't say that because I'm quick at getting these things. I've been doing it all for many, many years now. That was a vision of little birds and bigger birds. And then he said, little tiny birds all beat down, maybe 13 or 20. Then there were bigger birds, and they were doves. Then there were 5 angels, such a terrible explosion, he thought he was going to be killed and everything else. And he said, had it been 1 angel, it would have been death, but 5 angels said grace. He said, it's a furtherance of my ministry. The little birds and the angels were merely types. Oh, God, have pity. You wonder why I want to quit preaching, don't dare? That's for you. You understand what I said? That was type. What have little birds to do with sign in your hands? What have bigger birds to do with reading your heart? Now let me tell you something. Those so-called 7 angels were not 7 angels. They were the seven spirits from before the throne. Because Brother Branham categorically said on the absolutely the first seal, he said, what a mistake I would have made, but the Holy Spirit swept into the room. The Holy Spirit is not an angel. Get that flat. Angels are angels. And some are devils who find their place in hell. Because an angel is but a spirit. Read your Bibles. Listen to what the prophet said the last night. The seventh seal, he said, Charlie, talking to Charlie Cox, he said, I held it back. He said, but did you figure it out? He said, what was it all this week then? Seven angels. Seven embodiments of the Holy Spirit. Seven spirits from before the throne. Who do you think brings the word in every age but the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
Who's the Joshua or the Elijah of this hour but the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Not man, God, but comes by prophet. Who's the Joshua to lead us in? The Holy Spirit himself. Oh, yeah. I get steamed up. I say, Brother Vail, this time you see you're not nice like that. Well, you sure got more than fish hooks on your elbow. Yeah. I got them all over me. Paul was set for the defense of the gospel, and so am I. If you're not set for the defense of the gospel, there's something wrong somewhere. You can't open your heart and your mind to believe, live, die, sink, or swim. You're looking for some little way out. Go ahead. I'm going to chase you. I'm getting out of breath now. Faith. Not something you use under an anointing. Then you go down the line through virtues, through knowledge, through temperance, through patience and godliness and brotherly kindness right to the very end. I haven't got time for it. Because we're going to have to close on. I'm just reading this here. But you see, what he's saying, these things are born into you. And you nurture them through the word by your acquiescence, by your desire to conform. You're wanting to put your life on the altar. My first time of knowing anything about this, and I've always been a very radical type of person. I could explain a lot of things. That's my business, not yours. But I told you when I worried that God would call me to preach, forget it. So I made a very nice little, my mother gave me a nice little watch. A Bulova, my 21st birthday, very sweet and kind of her. And so I took the box and I took the red part out, you know, the little thing where the watch is, and I wrote, now, dear Lord, I'll be glad to be a deacon or an elder in the church and teach Sunday school, but I sure not gone to preach, so I don't want you to call me to preach. And I signed my name, bargain. Yeah. I had a bargain, all right. I went through a hell. Until one day I said, Lord, I know what it's all about. You're calling me to preach. I'll go, but I sure hate to go. And I'm going to tell you something. You won't understand this. Why? How can you understand it? The perfect peace of God flooded my heart, yet I was in the turmoil like a death. And I went, not knowing where I'd go. And when the prophet told me, he said, Lee, you know you're not called to be a pastor, so what'll he do? And they'd go on the road like me. I said, well, how'd you do that, Bill? He told me the same thing. Go blind. You go where you don't know you're going to go. See, when you're dealing with these things, they are born in you. And you nurture them through the word. And you're coming together and bearing each other's burdens. And being a true social complex group. Not so complex, but we are, but I should say unified group. Around this word, where personalities and these things begin to fade. How many years, Brother Vail, do you think it'll be before this rapture based on what you think? Well, 2,000 more. No? It's going to happen in spite of us. Like Brother Branham said, he looked around and said, there's a bride out there somewhere. If we're not, there's a bride out there somewhere. See what he's talking about. This is what is in the church and must be as the foundation for the sealing in of the Holy Ghost himself, which you these things you have by the baptism, the Holy Spirit himself. And we come up as individuals. And Brother Branham is looking to the place, as a stature perfect man, where men and women are literally controlled by the Holy Ghost. And that means to say the life that is in the Word is producing the living epistle, read and known of all men, a true manifestation of the sons of God. Don't look for this other stuff Latter Rain is trying to teach you. look to be a word-identified entity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. So were you and me with Him in the beginning, and we have become flesh also. We'll never be like Him, except by divine grace. But these things are born into us. Now, the Holy Ghost comes and seals the unit. The way He makes His bride is the way He makes individuals, made out of the same material, and so on, down the line. It's like I said, could you imagine seeing a buzzard sitting there putting dovetails in his wings and say, see, I'm a dove. He's not a dove, he's a buzzard, he's a vulture. Could you imagine a blackbird with a peacock feather in his wings saying, see, I'm a peacock? No, that's something that he's stuck in. But it has to come from the inside out, and it produces Christianity, God by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, don't you see, you understand where we're coming from. The first is the definitive revelation. And without the definitive revelation, you are in absolute danger of every one of those other six being not necessarily a phony, in the sense that you don't mean it at all, you want to be right and all, but it isn't there in the reality of God. Because, you see, the rock box had to have the element of the last day, which was the message, which is producing the brotherly kindness. Every age produced it. The same as it's in an individual. And it says that when you have that, you will not lack. And you'll be under the total leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit. See? Now, could you imagine a blackbird and so on? That's something he's stuck in, but it has to come from the inside out. It produces Christianity, God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our sister had her feet wet when she got to the bottom. Now, see, she was in the water. Now, listen to what he says about her. All of us know Sister Shepherd to be charitable. Her house is open. She and Brother Shepherd. I don't care if it's a bum or a beggar, whatever it is. They'll feed him. Do anything they can to help him along. Oh, God accepted that, her foundation part. See? In other words, she was in it. She wondered, what is my evidence? What is my sign? What is this big thing? What is this great thing? No, it's something birthed into you. It's something you've got room for by your soul, the gene in there. It came from God, the place for the Word, the conduit of the Holy Ghost. And when that Word was poured in, it manifested in a brotherly kindness and people said, I can't take that. No, of course you can. You weren't meant to take it. See? And he said, right here, the woman has her evidence. Look at her kindness. This church is known for its hospitality. Every now and then I see a little flicker that you don't seem to be quite up on top. Hey, listen, I don't like that. Not that I have to do more. No, I'll do it. Don't worry. Bill won't do it. George will. Lee will do it. Don't worry. You know I'll take up the slack. And I'm 78, just right around the corner now. If old man Vale can do, what about you younger people? I'll put it right back on you. Where are you going to? Where are you coming from? Hey. Don't try to take advantage of anybody. Look for this, look for that. Don't look for your hand or start handing out. If I could do it on $39 a week and you were getting your $1,900 a week and still paying 20% off the top, never took a plug nickel, Brother Branham, wouldn't lower myself to do that. No, no. I'm here to serve, not to be served. Where are you coming from? Come on, if I'm laying it on the line. What do we got, peacock feathers being shoved in? Some crow bait? Not trying to hurt anybody. Just lay it on the line here, kid. I'm not any virtuous person. I'm a low man on the totem pole, but I can see at least this much. Sister Shepherd stood there with her husband. Feet wet with the water. Brotherly kindness. Hospitable. Just good, fine people, see? And I'm going to tell you, when he talked about them doing that, and I know he loved Brother Shepherd, he was talking about their virtue, which I am sad to say, I never saw too much in that church. That's not blaming Brother Branham. They just look too much at the prophet. We got the prophet, bless God. We got this, we got that. What have you got? Ain't what the prophet's got. You know, Elijah, he was Ahab's pastor. What did Ahab have? Elijah had it all. Oh, Ahab got a few little lands and things, committed murder with his filthy woman. But you know, when Ahab softened a bit, God said, hey, he's walking softly. I like that. So if God could like that in Ahab walking softly, what about these people? Now, I hope you don't feel bad at what I say. I'm just trying to get your point in here. What Brother Branham says about this couple here, I know them myself personally. They are wonderful people. Now, get this lesson. Here's what's wrong with the... I ought to turn this, but he said, here's what's wrong with the Branham Tabernacle. You see, there's two different kinds of faith. There's two different kinds of virtue. As I said the other day, there's two different kinds of knowledge. You know, Kenyon brought that up very, very strong. Two different kinds of temperance. One thinks it's prohibition. Ain't that kind of temperance God's talking about. It's that ungodly, uncontrollable temper you got things up, like flashback and fuss. In other words, you're always trying to start something. Get up there like a buzzsaw. You know, I tell you, if you start something, you're the guy in trouble. If the guy reacts, he's got trouble too, because he hasn't learned his lesson. But never says, warn to them by to whom offenses come. It says, warn to them by whom offenses come. Patience and so forth. There's a mockery of it, of pretending to be a nature-given faith, a nature-given virtue. There's a nature-given temperance. All these things nature gives are in you, see? That's what I said about the male and female, the difference between the two. Because the woman usually has been so nice and gentle, sweet and kind, and all these things, bearing children. They think right away the woman is very spiritual, and that's a lot of hogwash. She's very nice and gentle. She's got a female spirit. See, that's women aren't allowed to preach, and nothing against women. It's just the way they are. They just ought to thank God they've got that to get them through. Oh, man alive. They didn't have it. How would they make it? Now they're losing it. So look at the condition the world's in. See? Homos getting together and they want to adopt somebody else's kids. Isn't that great? Oh, yeah, you have the kids and I'll take them over. Yeah. The government says, okay. Now, you know, I found out today, the Canadian courts of law, like their judiciary, is doing what who is that great famous Brandeis? The great famous Jewish jurisprudence, big guy, you know. He said, the Supreme Court ought not to adjudicate, but to legislate. And so now the Supreme Court in Canada has said the government must absolutely allow a homosexual man with another homosexual man to let the one of them act as the wife, and when he dies, the man that, you know, what am I talking about? The him with the shim. That's what Roosevelt called a certain person. This woman that was found with his wife. Shim. So, all right. The him can leave the shim, you know, like in will and his pension and things like that. Like a wife. Canadian government, just pass that. The government's going to be forced to because the law said so. Oh, these filthy lawyers. They haven't changed except to get worse since the time of Jesus. Well, let's go on. Come on. You get me wound up on politics and things. Just remember, the Jews got the paper and the Catholics got the gold. When Brother Branham's life was $168 billion. That's about $300 an ounce. What's it worth now? Well, you say it's only worth $300 an ounce now. Ha! When they pull the rug, what's it going to be worth? If you had the only glass of water in the world, what would you charge for it? You say, I wouldn't even sell it. Ha ha! Now you're talking. So when gold goes to $10,000 an ounce, you said, but they wouldn't. Who are you to say they wouldn't? So who are you to say they would? Because I'm smart. I'm nobody's fool. If I had all the gold, you think I wouldn't put it to $10,000 or $100,000 an ounce if it suited my purpose? Don't be ridiculous. I'd put it to $1 million if it suited my purpose. Who do you think's running the show? Come on. God's running his show and you don't have one word, and the devil runs his show, you don't have one word either. Come on, let's get down to business here. See? Patience and so forth. And the biggest part of our faith is mental faith. By hearing the word, it brings to us a mental recognition of God. But if this coming from above, oh brother, if it ever strikes this, there is a godly spiritual faith. See, there's no difference in the mechanics. No. Thus saith the Lord, look and thou shalt live. Is the same word a drunk, a bum, a heretic, anybody, an agnostic, or some type of a heathen, atheistic person could get it? It's the same word that hits that little cell down in here and said, hallelujah! Other, yeah, too. One guy's just alive. Same mechanical word. What's here? What quickens it? Sure. See, faith comes by hearing. What kind of hearing, or what kind of faith you got? Just a mental. But you see, if the spirit strikes it, what happens? Then what does that faith do? Listen, here's the point that I brought out a while ago. That faith recognizes only the word, No matter what anything else says, it only recognizes the Word. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God, and the Word still God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Sure, the Bible says the Word became flesh, what it really says, yep. And when the Word itself is pouring into our faith, our mental faith becomes a spiritual revelation. And upon this foundation I'll build my church. See, not upon a mental conception, the church joining a mental conception to that, but upon a revelation. Then when those streams of grace are pouring into that mental faith that you've got, then upon this a spiritual revelation I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Therefore, every one of those other virtues are in there and coming up. Why? Because the life of the Word is feeding them. Hey, if God made all things by the Word, and all things are maintained by the Word, what is He doing with the bride? It's the same thing. See? Now, see, not upon a mental conception, a church joining mental conception of that, but upon a revelation. Now, streams of grace pouring into that mental faith you got. Then He said, I'll build my church. The gates of hell won't prevail against. See, it turns spiritual. See? That shows they would be against it. But it'll never prevail. What's going to prevail? The Word will prevail. Oh, what a glorious thing. We see these five streams. I had a piece of chalk, but I guess I never brought it. But the five streams you see coming down here tempers this together, joins it together, makes it compatible, see, makes it one, easy to blend. It's been the Holy Spirit that made the Ephesian church, the Holy Spirit that burnt the Smyrnian church. It was the Holy Spirit that gave the Pergamian church, the Thyatirian in the Dark Ages, the Holy Spirit that built the bride, that elect that's pulled out of all the organization system down through the ages like that. And that's that. There's an elected, predestinated bride of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit has called out, the very elect, and has been the Holy Ghost in this age, that age, that age, that, up to the very top, the Holy Ghost. In other words, it comes from the top down. See? But it builds the bottom up. Now, as in the individual, these virtues and things are naughty temperance and added faith. That is added to our faith. Then when the capstone comes, the Holy Ghost cements it together. And Brother Branham said, it's in this hour the capstone came. See? There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so short today. That's why there's just an anointing. Why? Because He doesn't get down inside. Then if you got a true anointing and you don't have the right word, what's going to happen? You are going to produce a life that is apart from the life that's in the Word. Oh my, that's easy to see. So let's see here. I got some text written down. Now, coming down from the Holy Spirit, what is it? Then He gives you your supernatural faith. Supernatural faith here at the bottom. That's the little spiritual faith recognizes only the Word. No matter what anybody else says, it doesn't do any good. That spirit only knows the Word. That faith only knows the Word. If somebody says the days of miracles pass, the faith only knows the Word. Somebody said no such thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost, faith only knows the Word. That's real spiritual faith. See, that's right. It's only the Word. That's why Jesus said it is. It is said. Jesus said it is also said. Jesus went to the Word and He knocked the devil plumb out of the context. No more contents. Here's no contest. No, sir, you got the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. You can whack anything to pieces. That was number one, coming to you, mental faith. Right here comes the Holy Ghost. Coming down into your mental faith makes it a spiritual faith. Then the spiritual faith only recognizes the Word. Number two, three, you have to be spiritual. Have the Holy Ghost. And we'll seal all these things into you. As that Holy Spirit covers this. From your faith up to the Holy Spirit seals you. From your faith up to the... to when the Holy Spirit seals you in with Christ. Then you become one. Amen. Now, get this thing out of my way. It's a drawing board, I guess he had there. You become one. See, Christ, you and Christ live together. At that day you'll know I'm in the Father in me and I in you and you and me. See, that's a sealed unit of the Lord God. Now, and then they are vindicated and placed. When that time takes place, they become vindicated sons and daughters of God. Telling right in this age, we're vindicated. You're already vindicated. Already been talked to. Do you remember in the book of Matthew 17 and so on? You've heard my sermon, Hear Ye Him. I preached about a year ago. Became so popular, Hear Ye Him. The placing of a son in Ephesians 1 and 5 says God predestined us on the adoption of sons. See a family. When a son is born into it, it's a son. Then, sure it is. But that son has to have a true to raise it. And that son never did come to be the right kind of a son. He never did become heir. But if he was the right son, the son would obey his father. Then that son was adopted or placed positionally. It's not adoption, it's placing positionally. He just used the scripture term in the King James. And that's what God was doing on Mount Transfiguration when he took his own son. After he had proven to be the right son and stood all temptations, he took him to Mount Transfiguration overshadowed him. Now, what was the first thing that Jesus did? He just right with the revealed word. From that time on, there wasn't clear sailing, building up, building up, building up. So you and I. You know, in the Old Testament, they took a son, dressed him in nice, pretty garments, set him before the public. He had a ceremony of placing. We call it adopting. And in Galatians there, I think of St. Paul refers to the adopting of sons. Now, by placing a son, ministers understand. In other words, the son was a son when he was born. Now, there's where the Pentecostal people made their mistake. Being born in the family of the Holy Ghost, that's right. But then we must be the right kind of children, tutored by the right tutor. You see, how you got the right tutor if they turned down the word? Now, if a man back in the old age thought of his son, he wanted to be the right kind of a son, he got the best tutor he could find, the best teacher, because he wanted his son to come up to be like his daddy. See, he's got to have the right tutor. Now, if a man on earth would want the best tutor, how about God our Father? Now, he'd never get bishops and cardinals and priests. He'd get the Holy Ghost to be our tutor. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And he's in the church. And he takes the message to the Father. Then what if the Father, the tutor comes up and said, well, Father, now he ain't going to get some kind of a tutor that wants a straw in his hat, you know, a feather as we call it. In other words, the tutor comes up and tells the Father a lie. Or if I tell the Father something about the little renegade, if I tell him that, the Father might not give me a raise, but I tell him something nice, you know, he'll give me a raise. Well, he said, that's a poor kind of a tutor. A right kind of a tutor is honest, will tell the truth. And the Holy Ghost tells the truth when he comes before God to us, yes. So he comes up, what do you think? He blushed to say, today, your daughters are cutting their hair. You told them not to do it. Your sons are organization-minded. They just simply can't see one to another. And they're adopting this and doing that. Oh, he must blush. And how the tutor'd love to come and say, oh my, there's a real son. He's just like his father. How he'd love to say that, see? Then the father swells out in pride and said, this is my son. That's exactly what God did on Mount Transfiguration. You notice there appeared Moses and Elijah and Peter, and all excited, the supernatural was done, and Peter got excited. Let's build 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While they're speaking, God told him, shut up. He said, this is my beloved son. Hey, that's nice, isn't it? God shut him up. This is my beloved son whom I well please. Hear ye him. See, God put himself in the background. This is my son. See the presentation. In other words, God bringing you out according to his own glory, which is revealed in you because you've been an obedient son. Moses represented the law. The prophets represent justice. He could not live by his law. He could not live by justice. I don't ask justice. I want mercy, not justice. I can't keep his law. I can't meet his justice, but I need his mercy. And God said the law and justice has been met in him. He's my beloved son. Hear him. That's him. That's the one. Now, in the Old Testament, when that son was adopted or placed in the family's name, was just as good on the checks as his daddy's was. Yes, sir. They had a ring in those days, a signet. They'd spit on it and make a seal. He wore his daddy's ring. He had the signet. He was just as good as his dad because he had the signature. See? No, same thing. That's why when Christ was equal, he called himself the Son of God. They said, you make yourself equal with God. See, they understood that, the first son, the firstborn. When Jesus had when Jesus had been obedient, Jesus to God, God placed him positionally. this is he. Now, when the member is born by the Holy Ghost in the family of God and is proven to have these virtues in him, then that God can see virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, God is in him, then God seals him or places him. And that's when you see the sons and daughters of God. That's in this hour. That's in the fullness comes in the resurrection. But it's also something we must realize. It's something that we have and we work with. Now, watch. Then Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, I'll just finish it. Whereby we seal the day of your redemption. Now, some of you Baptists and some of you want to go to eternal security. If you come to that stage, I'll stand with you. It's eternal security if you come to that place I'm talking about. But just to say, I'll go and join a Baptist church, I'm a Presbyterian, I've got eternal security, that's wrong. Your own life proves you haven't got it. Until this is there and God has adopted you and sealed you by the Holy Ghost into his kingdom, there's no getting out of it. You're eternally secure under those conditions. Believe. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby all of you and your godly virtues are sealed unto the day of redemption. I believe there is a bride predestinated. I believe God said he would have a church with a spot or wrinkle. I believe in predestination, that the bride is predestined. She's got to be there. I hope I'm with her. See, I hope I'm with her. Now, it's up to me to work out my own salvation with God until these things are approved of God and then sealed in the kingdom of God. There's the Holy Spirit. There's the genuine works of God. It's sealed until the day of redemption. That was her dream. I thought it was beautiful. Now, he goes on, but that's the point the brother wanted to know about. Now, I showed you here in both places in Scripture, Brother Branham using Paul. You have all the assets. If you're born again, everything you and I need is there in the embryo, in the seed, starting with the revelation. which goes on then to what Brother Branham called the virtue, and he called the power of God. And you go on up and up and up to get the patience. And he said, the first thing you've got to learn to be patient is with God himself. Then there's another patience where you're waiting for the revelation. You don't jump the gun and you don't try these other things. Then you go on and you finally come to where we are today. And you know you're there because we do have these differences. But we love each other based on this word. My God, God help us tonight. I preached it for almost 10 solid years amongst you. Preached sermon after sermon on of laying my heart bare, knowing something was wrong. Finally catching up in the Word, and Brother Branham said, if you believe this message, you love this message, he said, how you ought to love each other. It's got to be right there. Now, listen, we're going to just call this church tonight to repentance. That's all I'm going to do. From the pulpit right down the very bunch, I've confessed the sins of the people like I'm supposed to be doing the porch and the altar, calling upon God. We just better believe the truth tonight. Get rid of all this hogwash we've had contaminating us. Well, I could have done it better if I was just, you could have, who could have, look it. Please don't ask me to believe that you could have done anything better. Except on this grounds, you certainly could have, but did you? And I certainly could have, but did I? Now, we need a little holiness. We need a little legalist. We need to get rid of filthy spirits and everything else. They're on kids and everybody. Everybody. We need to call this church tonight to repentance. I mean before God. We are at the place of complete adoption. Ready for rapture. Somebody is if we're not. Examine ourselves in this light. Do we have these virtues in us? Have they surfaced? Not the perfection as though, hey, I got this perfect patience. I got a perfect revelation. We ought to have perfect revelation as far as we can go. That's true. Don't pretend I got any perfect power. I don't pray for sick like I used to. I'm not called to, actually. But we admit it. We believe it. We set our hearts and our faces toward it. Looking at these virtues, they're all there born into us. Now, by the grace of God, it's God in us and God helping us that He Himself, through the Holy Spirit, might manifest Himself in and through us as living epistles, read and known of all men, that we are those children of God. Now, let's not put it way down someplace else. Give it to somebody else. Let it come right back on this ministry. As I told you about Brother Branham, went 200 miles to lay some pecans before the man. Say, sir, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to tell a lie, but I did. And they say, this man told a lie? Throw your Bibles out. David didn't do that good. Where are you standing tonight? That's the thing we're looking at. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're looking at you tonight knowing that this message Brother Branham preached in stature of perfect man also leaves us very, very humbled, very, very disoriented too in many ways, wondering how much have I really got? How much have I really shown? The fact of the matter is, it's not how much we've got. It's what have we done with what we've got. Until the very exercise of the Holy Spirit within us, bringing us into a place of subordination and suffering, and godly manners, doing what Jesus would do, turning the other cheek and yet standing strong for the Word, knowing when to stand, when to flee, knowing when to talk, knowing when to keep quiet. All of these things, Lord, we know are within us. And you know that my heart grieves for my own self and my own backslidings, as it were. No wonder Brother Branham said 1,000 times a day. We've not tried to be impertinent or bumptious or presumptuous or bold as though we had something within ourselves, which we certainly do not have. But, Lord, those things which we know we have in you, in which you said before us, we can be absolutely strong concerning the vindication and those things which we see. And by your grace, Lord, because it's five streams the woman saw, five streams of grace that came down. Grace is grace. And Jesus and faith are right in them, right along with it. Flowing over our feet, cooling us. Not roiling up any more of the trash and junk that's in the church. But at least, Lord, we see her feet were ankle deep. As the waters were coming out of the temple. By tonight, Lord, they certainly should be past our loins. waters to swim in, waters to carry us over. And there certainly should be a life that many people accuse us of, we don't preach enough of. And there is a life. And that life, Lord God, we see. And we want to see more and more of it. Where men and women do not take advantage over each other. Where in honor they prefer each other. Where they look on others' needs. And things that they need in their lives. Willing to share and willing to help. We know there's always a chance of an Ananias and Sapphira. We always know there's a chance of somebody that... But Lord, that's a chance we're going to take. Because it's not a chance, it's something we're supposed to do. And I look back, Lord, and so many times I've done things and it looked like it completely backfired when I could have just kept it myself, as it were. Had a house, had a better car, had this or that. But I don't regret one thing, Lord, and you know I don't in my heart. Except I'm sorry what some people did with it, and I don't think that was too nice. But as far as giving, keep on giving and trust, Lord, we'll keep on giving. Even more and better. Whatever is necessary. Because your word has given a promise, and it grows with grace and power and fulfillment. And it's in our lives, my life and the people's lives here, Lord. I pray you'll fill every young heart tonight with the desire to just walk in that word when many times they feel they haven't done and can do it. Just realize, hey, that's what the intercessor's all about. 1,000 times a day, as the prophet said, but still go on. Even as the psalmist said, righteous man will fall 7 times, but the Lord will pick him up. We see David, he sinned always before him, but we don't write him off. We know he was a man after your own heart, and you stood for him because he stood for you in his own way. And here we are tonight, Lord, we're trying to stand for you, and we know you're standing for us. We pray that out of this whole thing there'll be a church rise up to realize what Paul said and what Brother Branham said. Work out our own salvation. We've got a life to live with you, Lord. Nobody else is going to do it. We're going to trust you. We've been trusting you, but now we want to extend our borders and trust into other realms. Like you told the people back in your days, you tithe and mint and ruin company. He said, these things are good, but there's weightier matters out there. And I believe there's many weighty matters, Lord, that the prophet talked about in those 7 virtues. Until the 8th one, love himself, God just seals us right into that kingdom. Right to the day of redemption. That day is right at hand now. Capstone himself. All these things, Lord, here in our midst. But Lord, if there isn't something in our heart there from you to begin with, that eternal bit that you put in there, it's not going to work. But Father, tonight, we believe that that something is in there, that gene of God in the soul. It brings us to this word, and this word brings us to life, and this life brings us to those 7 virtues, and completely sealed in by the Holy Ghost, ready now. They waiting on us and ready for us. They with us cannot be made perfect, and we being perfected now, ready to go right to the tree of life immortality and be taken up into glory. Help us tonight, Lord. Forgive every sin in the building tonight. Cleanse every heart, we pray, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And heal everyone amongst us, O God, we pray, because we know healing is there, Lord. We will not deny it. It is there. We've seen it. Let it come forth more and more. And unto you we give the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have communion service at this time. We'll just merely read the scripture and go on with the service because I took the full hour and a half and a bit more. Didn't intend to. But I trust I was able to bring some of the things that the brother wanted to know and some of the things that Brother Branham said. And if you want to know more, you get the Stature of Perfect Man. And you can read it in there and you can find where Brother Branham teaches. It's just like the Keswick Conference teaching of years ago. I mentioned many, many times. A man has a bottle of rocks and he pours in water. So I got a bottle of water. No, you don't have a bottle of water. And you keep taking out the rocks and pretty soon keep pouring in water. And then when all the rocks are gone, you're plumb full of the Holy Ghost. Well, Brother Branham sort of reversed that. What you do, you start with a little fountain of water that isn't getting anywhere very much. And as you meet the adversities of life, you simply begin to apply those virtues in there, and the water begins to fill more and more and more with the Holy Ghost coming through, because you see, those virtues are in the Word. Now, if those virtues weren't in the Word, the Holy Ghost could do nothing about it. The Holy Ghost will do nothing about anything but the Word. There's no way. But you see, they are in the Word, so the Holy Ghost is bound to do something about it. And we having the Holy Spirit, putting on that mind of Christ, thinking and not robbed equal to God, in other words, placing yourself right with Him in this life, and denying those things which naturally we would like to go the easy way, but to go the way of the Word, God has promised that you're going to be plumb sealed in. Your life will be really full of the Holy Ghost. And it's not the thought of being really full of the Holy Ghost as the fullness. It's talking about the life being led to where you don't have, you're just not in a place of worrying. Lord, what about tomorrow? What? So many people say, oh God, put a little fleece here, a little fleece there, something here and something. That's not the point. If you're with that Word, hey, you're in the right direction. You know, you're going with God. All right, what are we going to read tonight? 1 Corinthians, it's in the book here, so I've just seen my fingers are going there. We'll just read it. And then we'll have the Lord's Supper, the table of the Lord. And then, you know, the men have a little place to wash feet. I think the women have more extensive place out there now than they had before. Chairs are set up in basins. And back here there's room for about 6 people, I think. And then when the 6 people are finished, by that time the last of us will be ready, the deacons and the different ones. So, all right. We're looking at the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I think I might have said 13, but didn't want that. And Paul himself said in the 23rd verse, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now, it's remarkable that the Lord Jesus Christ actually came to the Apostle Paul. That's Jehovah himself. That's what we're talking about. Came to Paul, said, "I'm Jehovah. I'm Jesus' Savior." That's Jehovah, Joshua. And then he actually told him everything about himself, and no doubt everything he did when he was on earth. The man was given a complete, full, not a resume, but a full, complete description. And he's speaking a part of it here. When Jesus broke the bread, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So what we do tonight, we understand that this typifies, this is a type of the body. It could not be the body under any circumstances, because the body's up in heaven. So, you know, people have some foolish ideas about this, but we can't embrace that. It would be foolish. Do this in remembrance. Remembrance of what? Remembrance of his death. And after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft ye drink in remembrance of me." And how, of course, was the body broken? In death, crucifixion. How did the life go? The blood dripped out. Then, of course, he gave up his life as the blood finally dripped out. Because Christ was not just thoroughly dependent upon flesh and blood, you know, the blood there. You can't put them in the same class as we are. This is a new race. This is a second Adam. "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come." Now, this coming, of course, is not the presence or the appearing. This is a literal coming when he takes us up to the wedding supper and we meet him reincarnated. We meet him in the body. So that could actually mean, if you wanted to go the whole limit, if the saints are here, already transformed for about 40 days, you could actually, you know, partake of these emblems, because it says here till he come. And many people have an idea that this coming here is the appearing. It's not so. Huh. Now, this is not the first part of 1 Thessalonians 4:16. This is the last part. He's talking about here, meet him in the air. So it's a very worthy, in the eyes of God, tremendously worthy and absolutely necessary that people wash feet and take the table of the Lord. Especially the table of the Lord. But if you deny foot washing, you deny this also. But the reason I say especially this is because there's nothing said about foot washing that could possibly compare with what is said here. Because this is where our salvation is. When this one set aside his heavenly garments and took on a fleshly garment and died the death of the cross and was highly exalted, whereby we, in identification, which is not only an identification of mental assent, but a thorough, absolute baptism with the Holy Ghost, knowing we have received that on grounds of the true revelation, and ours vindicated this hour. See, we know positively that we also will be glorified and raised with him, not on the top of Mount Zion, but in the throne with him, which is certainly a marvelous thing that God has allowed his own people. Now he said here, wherefore if a man eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, he'll be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, you can't help but take this back to John 3. And of course, verse 16 is a great, 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 great verse that everybody uses. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but everlasting life. And it explains it. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It says might be saved. Now watch, the process is here. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, that's an elaboration. He said, first of all, you don't have to be condemned because a way has been made. Now, the next thing is this. If you turn him down, you are condemned. Because you haven't believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, watch the 19th verse pinpointed. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to light. See, what's he talking about the light? Truth. You turn down the true word of God, it's over. So you come back here, and it says here, he drinks condemnation. See? Now, God sent his Son not to condemn the world. So the world doesn't need to be condemned. Now, you believe in his name, the only begotten Son, one of a kind, that one. Now, hey, that's it. But no, that's not it. There's a ramification. Why can they not believe the way they're supposed to? Well, they're condemned because light comes in the world, which is truth, and they won't bring their deeds. See, that's what Cain wouldn't do. Cain would not bring his deeds to the light. He said, no way. He said, then you're cursed. So, when Brother Branham said that no one has a right to partake of the Lord's Supper without being full of the Holy Ghost, he's 100% correct. Because without the Holy Spirit, how are you going to know what that word says? And indeed, if you do know what it says on the grounds that you can parrot it, you can say, hey, I can read, I'll tell you what it says. If the Spirit of God hasn't quickened that and made your mental faith a true spiritual faith, where you see you've come into the place where live, die, sink, or swim, and I've got peace about it, because when it's live, die, sink, or swim, the die is cast. In other words, you come to the place where you couldn't worry if you tried. Why bother? Well, that's a funny kind of a peace. It's fatalistic. Well, isn't predestination? So you look at the scripture here and you say, well, hey, I've examined myself. I believe. And with me it's live, die, sink, or swim. No place else to go. Where would you go? I don't know about you people. But you know, actually, if this isn't it, every molecule in my body, and I'm sure there's billions of them, because how many trillion cells are there? every they go, if I got 3 trillion cells, I would go 3 trillion different directions. I'm gone. I think you ought to feel the same way. Not that I could make you feel that way, not that I want you to feel that way, if you don't want to feel that way. But for where I stand, I would like to believe every one of us feels that way. Say, well, what about? You shrug. In other words, knowledge stops with this. Isn't knowledge part of one of those graces? Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, godliness, right? That's 5 right there. Going right on. So, you got the knowledge. Now, how much are you going to use it? So, you see, that's a big step in growing up in the Spirit of God, taking control. What about your temperance? See? In other words, like Noah, Brother Branham sang the song, you know. When Noah drifted for many a day, you know, looking for land in various ways, faith wasn't forgotten. God sent him a sign on the wings of a dove. His faith was not forgotten, see? What about Abraham? Too old to have a son when God promised a son. Well, no, and I guess he wasn't at that time, way back. When the promise came the second time, he was too old, and God had to rejuvenate him. See, God never fails. So you're looking at this here, Brother Branham bringing us such definitive explanation, such rock salvation. He really encourages us as we read this tonight and partake of the emblems. In other words, the thing is this, what more is expected? And if something was expected, what could I produce? And maybe my thoughts on expectation are not his thoughts on expectation. Remember Brother Branham, when his wife said she wanted some, what was it, silk stockings or something? Must have been silk, wasn't nylon, they didn't have those days. And what is it?
Chiffon?
No, it wasn't that, I don't think. Was it chiffon socks? I don't think so. Was it chiffon? Or maybe he brought her, what, Lyle socks or something that didn't fit, didn't like, and so she hid them away. Now, he thought he did a great job getting her bargain. So she never said a word, just put them away, never wore them. And he wondered why, and he found out later on, hey, I didn't get a bargain at all. You see expectations? Now, you say, that's a pretty pitiful example. Oh, no, it isn't. A person is just as ridiculous. And I'm not saying it's ridiculous, you know what I mean? It's just as ridiculous to believe that her expectations and his expectations were gratified on what was right, and you come and say, well, I can take this, but I, you know, it's open house to anybody. We're not close communicants. Anybody can. No, it's based on that understanding. All right, let's rise at this time. And the ladies, of course, know where you go for foot washing, and the men know where they go, and there's about 15 chairs out there, and that'll take care of 30 to 36 people, 6 in here. All right. Will the brethren please come forward? Who's ever going to serve? And we form 2 lines that come around from the very back, my extreme left-hand corner there. They come around and then go on out. And one brother has the bread, and the 2 brethren handle the wine cups. And that means you can get through that much faster. So now you know how that's done. And there's 2 sides of the table you come, men and women. There's no special sides for young, old, or anything else. Just come right through, and you are able to then have these emblems served more rapidly. Heavenly Father, we dedicate these emblems to you and the people standing here in each one of us, Lord. We know, Father, that we're like the little old sister that Brother Branham liked to talk about, that we sure aren't what we ought to be. We know that. We're not what we want to be, but thank God we've made some growth. We're not what we used to be. And we're coming down the road here, the understanding of our hearts and minds being open, Lord. We're seeing more and more this righteous, tremendous value, even your values, Lord, demonstrated for us in this hour. And we see the word fulfilled. Now, God, tonight we pray that everybody partaking will remember, thus, I'm on bleeding ground. I'm on holy ground tonight. I'm on the revealed word, the solid rock revelation tonight, because I believe
the word of this hour that the prophet brought. And I see the name of Jesus Christ and what he did for me, fully effective. Condemnation is past. Judgment is over, Lord. We believe that. The pronouncement has been made. There is a righteous bride in the land. And by your grace tonight, Lord, we count ourselves a part of it. And, oh God, we want to be what you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.